Today on Real Life Radio.
And because they're with me, look around, you guys. Look around. The dead are coming back to life. The lepers are cleansed. Blind people see again. You're going to mourn for that? You're going to fast over that? Jesus says, no, well, I'm around. I want you to eat and be happy and rejoice in what God's doing.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message called How to Follow Jesus. You know, this series is one that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ as only Luke, the physician, could. Here, towards the end of chapter 5, Jesus meets Levi, the tax collector, who later is known as Matthew, one of Jesus' disciples. You see, the Jewish community did not associate with tax collectors. They were considered part of the Roman Empire, and they were hated by their fellow Jews. But Jesus looked into the face of Matthew, Levi, as if he was peering into his very soul. Then Jesus spoke to him and said, "Come and follow me." So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that knowing and following Jesus brings joy and a reason to celebrate. To fully receive what Jesus wants to give is to allow him to free us from the expectations of others and to heal us from our sin. Now in his message called How to Follow Jesus, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
In the book of Acts chapter 15, verse 10 through 11, there the scripture says, Paul says, "Therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" That's what religion does. Paul was speaking to a bunch of professional religionists. It's like me as a pastor saying to you, "Why don't you pray 10 hours a day? Or if you're not a Christian, you should be given $1,000 a day, or if you're not a Christian." And then Paul would say, "Hey, Jack, what are you saying that for? You don't even do that. That's wrong." And that's exactly correct. It's wrong. Paul went on to say in the book of Acts 15, verse 11, "But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. By grace, unearned favor, not by what you do. But in all truthfulness, we need to relate to our wonderful Lord. And these men, these scribes and Pharisees, were anything but truthful." And a yoke bums people out. A yoke burdens. Didn't Jesus say that my yoke is what? My burden is, that's right. Religion yokes people up. What's yoking you? "Oh, I've got to do this and I've got to do that." You're not free. I must this and that. Be careful that you know the Lord. It's easy to assume here clearly that Levi was full of joy. Irma Bombeck. Anybody remember Irma Bombeck? She's one funny lady. She said once, and I wrote it down, that she was at her church and a little girl was getting very fidgety in the message, and that little girl was bored to tears. She turned around and began to smile at all the people behind her and make happy faces at them. And when the mother caught on to the faces that she was making and her smiling faces that she was projecting onto other people, Irma Bombeck said the mother turned around or grabbed the child and turned her around and made her sit back down in the pew. And everybody in the church could hear the mother say, "Stop smiling like that. We're in church. Put on a sad face, you know." These scribes and the Pharisees, did you know that when they fasted, they took ashes from the fire and they wiped their faces white and they put marks underneath their chin to look gaunt, like they've lost weight. And they would fast. And they said that history says that they would generate some sort of false tears and it would run with the ashes and they would look terribly disfigured. In fact, Jesus said, "Why do you disfigure your faces like that? Don't do that. Comb your hair and anoint your face and don't let anybody know that you're fasting. It's between you and God." These guys were so theatrical with their pomp and their glory. "Oh, we're following God. It's such a burden." Jesus is not into that. Some people think if we're miserable, we must be holy. You see, we don't see Jesus. You know, there's no thing there that says, "And Jesus smiled." It does say that Jesus rejoiced in his heart. It's hard to have something happen in your heart without it being expressed on your face. And then on top of it, you can imply this, that it says children came to Jesus. If children came to Jesus, do you think children would have come to Jesus if he was just like this? Growling and snarling. Kids came to him and they loved it. I bet he was quite wonderful to be around. Why do you think tax collectors and sinners and harlots and contractors and policemen and firemen and school teachers and you name it, why do you think we want to be near him? Well, Jesus said concerning these Pharisees in Matthew 23:15, he said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites." Yikes. "For you travel land and sea to make one convert, and when you've won him, you make him twice as much a son of hell than you are yourself." Isn't that a strong word? That's about as strong as Jesus gets here. Matthew 23:13, Jesus says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against people, but you yourselves will not go in, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." They were building up walls to keeping people from knowing God. It's very tragic, terrible. And so they complained. Look at verses 31 to 32. In all honesty, we need to submit to him in honesty, to be honest before the Lord in all reality. Jesus answered and said to them, notice, Jesus is answering for the disciples. He's protecting them. He is defending them. "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I don't know about you, but that should be very clear. And what Jesus is trying to produce in the lives of the scribes and Pharisees ought to be very clear. Scribes, Pharisees, you should know by now, I'm healing the sick, I'm cleansing lepers, I'm raising the dead. I have come to help, heal, fix those who are sick. I didn't come to heal the righteous, only the sick. You know what he's trying to get out of them? Right. Jesus, forgive us. We've allowed our pride to creep in. We've allowed all this stuff to come upon us. We have commandeered the priesthood and made it an occupation. Please forgive us. We discover now by your words and by your actions, Jesus, we want to be your follower also, because you know what? We just realize now with what you just said, we also are sick. We are also in need of your help and your healing. We're sinners too. They didn't do that. Their swank and arrogance prevented that from happening. And it's a very sad thing. They were not honest. Third and final point this morning is found in verses 33 to 35. How to follow Jesus? We're to follow him joyfully. Will you jot that down, please? Joyfully. Joyfully receive of him. It says here in verse 33, "Then they said to him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but your disciples eat and drink?" Will you mark that? Jesus frees us from expectations. And you need to get this. I need to get this. Jesus frees us from expectations. Church, listen, we're almost done. Expectations from who? From people. We are wired this way. Expectations. In some ways, they drive us. It could be good, could be bad. In many ways, they rob us. What are the expectations? What's expected of me? And you want to ask your employer, what's expected of me? What am I to do? They'll hand you a job description. This is what you do. This is what you don't do. When you sign up for something, there's a procedure and protocol, what you do and what you don't do. What are the expectations? What are the rules? What are the taxes that this scenario involves? What are the rules to the game, Jesus? And they ask him, the religious leaders say, what do John's disciples, John the Baptist, they're speaking about John the Baptist. What does John the Baptist's disciples, what do they fast and pray? And by the way, our disciples that follow us, they fast and pray. But your disciples, they run around eating and drinking. What's with that? I mean, all of our disciples are miserable. Why are yours so happy? What's with you? Jesus, how come they get to have a lot more fun being with you? Number one, John the Baptist was the last prophet of the Old Testament. His very message was a message preaching repentance from sin and confession of that sin, to rend your heart and to fall before God. He was the last manifestation of the Old Testament covenant. The Pharisees, nowhere in the Old Testament was there a command to fast except on the Day of Atonement. And then it was to be followed by celebration and eating. But the priesthood began to cry out and making it not biblical, but a traditional requirement. That's why you read in your New Testament, the Pharisees say things like this, I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all that I have to the poor. God didn't demand it of them. They made it up. And then they made it a law. And if you didn't follow it, shame on you. You know that saying, I don't smoke or chew or go with girls who do? You ever heard that old country saying? Well, if you just keep these rules of this church, then you might become a member. I want you to know that's not biblical. The Bible says that if you believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and confess that truth through your mouth, you shall be saved. And the Bible says in that moment, you are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Done deal. You're in the body of Christ. Did you know right now that if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right here, right now, you are just as much in the member of the body of Christ as a brother or sister somewhere in Russia someplace, or in China, or in Japan, or in Australia? The membership is spiritual, not some list you sign up. But we are to joyfully receive of Him. And the expectation that man lays upon us, Jesus sets us free from. And so, why do they fast? Now listen, He gives a great answer. Joyfully receive of Him. Verse 34, Jesus gives us reason to celebrate. That's why. Why do your disciples party? Because they're celebrating. Watch. Verse 34. Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom's with them? You say, Jack, I don't get it. It's easy, but they certainly got it back then. When you were in a Jewish wedding, check this out. If you were invited, guess what? You didn't have to go to work for 7 days. They celebrated after the ceremony for 7 days. Wouldn't you like to be invited to a wedding? Sorry, boss, can't come to work. I'm invited to a wedding. You were exempt. And you went to your friend's wedding. And they celebrated. And this is so cool. The husband and wife, they wore crowns for 7 days. Crowns. And everybody treated them like a king and a queen. And they ate and danced, and the festivities were awesome. And listen, are you ready? You were forbidden. You were forbidden not to fast. You couldn't fast. You had to enjoy it. There was an attendant that went around to make sure the guests were invited, that they were the right guest, and that they had the right apparel on. Guess what? They had to have joyful apparel, very colorful. I love this. And they had to be rejoicing. Is that a sad face I see? What's the matter? You couldn't be sorrowful. You had to have all the beautiful colors of joy. Isn't that great? Jesus says, as long as I'm here, my disciples, they don't fast. They don't mourn. They have me. They don't pray. They talk to me. They don't have to pray. They just talk to me. And because they're with me, look around, you guys. Look around. The dead are coming back to life. The lepers are cleansed. Blind people see again. You're going to mourn for that? You're going to fast over that? Jesus says, no, well, I'm around. I want you to eat and be happy and rejoice in what God's doing. Now, listen to this. I can almost feel from some of you the resistance in the atmosphere over this. Jack, I want to believe what you're saying is true, but man, are you sure? I mean, almost kind of sounds like sin for me to wear something other than black? Wear black at a funeral. We are worshiping Jesus here and now. Are you sure? Have you read about heaven? When we get there, it says it's loud. You know, as the older we get, it's like, oh, that's too loud. God is going to redeem our ears. Because the Bible says when we get to heaven, it is loud. I don't know if I want it like that. Well, trust me. Bear with it. You'll get a new set of ears. It's going to be loud. People are going to be singing at the top of their lungs. And in fact, King David, back in Chronicles, demanded that the Levitical priesthood gather their brethren together, go into the temple, and enter in with loud stringed instruments, with clanging cymbals, and loud voices. You get the word loud? He said, loud, make it loud. And David was the greatest worship leader there has ever been. And he said, make it loud. I order mine loud. I don't think, you know, the Bible says angels are worshiping the Lord in heaven. I don't know how you view an angel, but first of all, when you look at them in the Bible, they're extremely buffed and incredibly intimidating and quite terrifying. They're not this little bubble bund, naked angel hanging on your bathroom wall. These are angels and they're buff. And the Bible says that when they begin to worship God, they fall down on their face and they shout or they sing, holy, holy, holy. Can you imagine? I don't think it's holy, holy, holy. You got this buffed angel. Holy, holy, holy. Man, I think they just go, holy. And the Bible says when they do it, the 24 elders fall on their face. Yeah, you're not going to fall on your face. Holy, holy. But they shout and the worshippers of heaven fall down. It's awesome. Joyful. The Bible says in his presence is the fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. The Bible says to enter into his courts with praise and with thanksgiving. It's pretty hard to be bummed out when you're supposed to enter in like that. Did you know that when you came into the temple area in Jerusalem, you were forbidden to have a sorrowful face? You were to enter in with rejoicing. Come on, get to church. We got to go. Come on, get the car. Here we are. Get that. Park there. Park there. You're parking too far away. Come in. Come in. Now smile. Smile. Kids, smile. Will you? Church. Man, we should just, come on, let's go. Let's go. We ought to try that just for fun next week. You ought to come to church, wherever you're coming from. Roll down the windows. Woo-hoo! Yahoo! Baby! You know, like the Lakers win something, you know how we act? Hey, hey, where are you going? Hey, beep, beep! Where are you going? Church, man! Worshiping God! Oh, yeah. It's practice. We can practice. We'll be celebrating. And we end with this. Verse 35, Jesus said, the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days. Scholars differ on what this means. Some say that since Jesus ascended back into heaven, the church has been commanded to fast and to be mournful until he comes back. I don't believe that. Some scholars, and I believe what they're saying, when Jesus died on the cross, from Friday to Sunday morning, they were sick. Did you read about it? They were sick. They were crying. They were horribly, horribly distraught. It's hard to eat like that, you know, when you're that way. They lamented the fact that Jesus had died. His disciples were completely, they were shut indoors. They didn't want to leave. And then word came that he was risen from the dead. And it says they were filled with fear and great gladness until it was confirmed. And when it was confirmed, what did Jesus say? He said to them while he was on the shore, come over here and eat. It is I. We love to eat, don't we? Do we pray? Yes. Do we fast? Yes, as God leads. But the Christian, we should be the most celebratory people on the planet.
That's right.
We need to just, church, I am so dead serious about what I'm going to tell you right now. We need to grow up. And we need to stop wearing our heart and life's problems on our sleeve to generate temporary sympathy from people. You want to know why? Why don't we exercise the joy of the Lord, rather, which is our strength, and get power over these problems in life? Because listen, we will have problems, and we got them now. You say, Jack, you know what? You're always excited. Do you ever have problems? I got more problems than you can imagine, but I choose to receive the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. In fact, I'm thinking that the more troubles I have, the greater dependence I need upon His joy. So all of a sudden, if I take it biblically, the burdens that come upon me, hey, Lord, this is an opportunity for me to lean upon your strength, which is my joy. Your joy, which is my strength. Bring it, Lord, on. As the world levies its tax against me, Lord, you open up the gates of heaven and you bring your joy. And that word joy is a deep, abiding peace that will last forever. It's not happiness. See, that's what we do with our sleeve. Oh, I'm having a really good day today. Well, I'm glad you're having a good day today. But you better have even a more awesome day tomorrow, no matter how bad it might go, because we're closer to the kingdom of God. You're one day closer to the rapture, or one day closer to a rupture, one day closer to heaven, either way. Oh, it's been such a bad week. Well, hallelujah, that makes heaven look all the sweeter. Oh, I didn't get what I wanted and it blew up and I thought it was going to be. Well, you know what? Just think. Paul the Apostle said that there's nothing in this life that he counted worth anything but a bunch of dung. You know what the word dung means? He said dung. Bandini. And you watch your joy elevate. But no, if we don't do that, we will walk around like this. Jesus is risen from the dead. And when I die, I'm going to heaven. And He's got a plan for my life. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. But you know what? My car's got a flat. And I don't know what I'm... I know He's controlling the universe, but I have a flat. Or whatever it is in our lives. The joy of the Lord's our strength. Jesus is the answer to every question. To every question. Father, we thank you for your Son. And it won't be long. My goodness, if we live to be another 100 years old, it won't be long till we see Him face to face. Till we behold His glory. The only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Father, this morning as believers, we recommit our lives to you today. We say, Lord, forgive us for following you half-heartedly at times.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called How to Follow Jesus. You know, this lesson is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Gospel of Luke. A series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Now, imagine what could happen to your spiritual life when you make devotions a part of it. Now, a special time with the Lord to both talk to Him and listen to Him is a great thing. To read a verse from Scripture, let God know what it means to you. And Pastor Jack understands the importance of devotions. And it's why he shares personal experiences in a devotion-type setting at his website. Simply go to jackhibbs.com, click on that tab that's labeled Devotions. Once you're there, you'll find a brand new devotion each week. You can also subscribe to his devotional list for daily reading. And if you are blessed by Pastor Jack's devotions, which I'm going to say you probably will be, there's a way for you to email him and let him know all about it. Tell him about it. You can do it directly. It's all right there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.